Amen, amen. Beautiful worship and singing and playing to our God on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday. I'm glad we don't serve a dead God. Oh, come on. Are you with me? I know you got plans after service, but we're here today to celebrate a resurrected King. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. He's not a dead God. He is alive forevermore. We have something to rejoice over. Amen. Always and forever. You know what? It just amazes me today that we have someone here today, Sister Chrysler. Last week, we prayed for her. She wasn't even here, but we came together and we said a prayer of faith for Sister Chrysler as she was in the ICU. Now she is here, and I look back and I see her hands raised. Amen. She was there for days, but now she's here worshiping the King. I'm telling you, He raised. And because He has risen, He can lift us up. Amen. Woo! We serve a mighty God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, amen. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. And as I minister through the Word of God, I know that God has given me this for us all. I ask you to receive it in Jesus' name. Open your ears, minds, and heart, and don't only hear the Word, respond to the Word. Amen. There's power when we hear the Word, but the power takes effect when we respond. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read to you today. I know you're standing, you can stand, you can sit, whatever you want to do, but I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture and we're going to move forward. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22. It says there, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Spiritually speaking, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I'm going to read the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, and a few scriptures there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, this is while they were in Egypt bound. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, the month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you, to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for every house, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Pay attention here. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out of from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post, and on the house wherein they shall eat it. Exodus verses 12. For I will pass through. This is God doing the plagues in Egypt. And this is the final plague here. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male and beast. And against all the gods, the false gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. The blood of the spotless, most perfect Lamb protected them, covered them, kept them from judgment, kept them from a sentence of death. Amen. The title I have for you today, or for us today, is From a Sacrificial Lamb to a Risen and Sovereign Lion. Bishop, if you would pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And Crossroads, I say to you on this Easter Sunday, if you are thankful for the redeeming blood of our Savior, then as you are seated, why don't you give the Lord a hand praise? Lift up your voice and let Him know that you are thankful for His redeeming blood. Hallelujah. Amen. From a sacrificial lamb to a risen and sovereign lion. Amen. I once heard a story, and a few days ago, it's about a week ago or so now, I found that story online. I did some research and I had to find it, and I found it in a few other places online. The story goes like this. During the First World War, a new day was dawning on the battlefield in northern France. The sun was burning through a fog which had been so thick that no one on the battlefield was able to see more than a few yards in front of them from their trenches. During the night, the Germans had slowly backed their lines up a little, and France had gone forward. Between the two positions, between the two trenches on this battlefield, there was a farmhouse that was still standing. It was still there. As the sun rose and the fog began to decrease, guns began to fire again, and the battle was full out. Between the trenches, with that farmhouse and the guns now blazing, cracking, if you will, suddenly it started getting quieter. Gunfire started to slow down. And eventually the firing ceased, and there fell a strange stillness in the middle of the battle. Between the trenches near the farmhouse, there was a crawling on its hands and knees, a baby boy in the unfamiliar silence. The soldiers in the trenches could hear this baby begin to giggle and laugh. Eventually, the story does not tell us which side, but eventually one of the soldiers jumped out of his hiding place and ran to where the child was crawling. He scooped up the baby and raced him to shelter. And on both sides of the trenches, there was excitement. There was cheering on both sides. For a few moments, in the middle of battle, in the middle of all of that mess, for a few moments, there was a cheer, and for a few moments, that baby brought peace to an earthly battle. It was at that moment, a place of war. Are you with me? It was at that moment, a place of destruction, chaos, devastation, pain and sorrow, and perhaps a lot of death, became a place of joy, a place of cheering, celebration, and peace. All because of the life and interruption of a baby boy. Child of God, I'm here to tell you today, this wasn't the first baby boy that caused an interruption into a chaotic world. This was not the first baby boy that later on intervened and brought joy and hope, life, peace to a world of chaos, hopelessness, distraction, damnation, and certain death. Are you with me? Some of you know who I'm talking about today. Oh, hallelujah. This was not the only baby boy that brought peace and joy. For his birth, the one I'm speaking of, his birth was foretold many years ago. He would be known as and be called and known as the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know him today? Do you know the one I'm speaking of? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am glad that I know who he is. I am glad that I know the one who intervened, who robed himself, come from heaven, lowered himself from a time to be lower than the angels, putting on flesh and becoming our Messiah. Oh, are you glad you know the one I'm speaking of today? Hallelujah. Throughout the Word of God, all throughout the Word of God, we often read of or we see glimpses or glimpse of his promised, prophesied coming. We see this all throughout the Holy Bible. Even as early as the third chapter in the book of Genesis, we see the hope of a Redeemer. We see the hope of a Savior, a God who doesn't only give judgment, but a God who will give hope. We see that even at that moment in the beginning. Perhaps most likely, prophecies of the coming Messiah that are found all throughout. Again, we see these glimmers of prophecies. But it is in my personal opinion and the opinion of others I have spoke to, both friends, family, and ministers of the gospel, other pastors and ministers and saints alike, that I have talked to on this particular prophecy, that the first clear, most direct, in your face, if you will, prophecy giving of the Messiah's coming is found as early as the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18 and verse 15. Around 1500 years before it was fulfilled, the plain and clear prophecy of the Messiah was given. In Peter's preaching recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 18 through 26, this 15-year-old prophecy in Deuteronomy was referred to and confirmed that Christ himself was the prophesied Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years ago, this prophecy was fulfilled. For Jesus Christ was our Savior, was born. This prophecy was fulfilled over 2,000 years because a baby came into the world whose name was Emmanuel, whose name was Jesus, the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I know it's Easter. I'm not confused. I don't think it's Christmas. I know it's Easter. But in order for us all to truly get it, in order for us all to truly celebrate Easter, in order for us to truly exalt and celebrate our risen Savior, we all must recognize his glorious supernatural birth. Amen. Hallelujah. The birth came first. Are you with me? We got to recognize it was a supernatural birth. It was not ordinary. His conception, his birth was far from ordinary. For he was conceived by a virgin. as the Holy Ghost moved upon Mary and impregnated her with the Messiah. His birth was truly miraculous. His birth was greatly significant, for he came and was given for a specific purpose. It was significant because he came for a powerful, specific purpose, and that purpose was to redeem. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful I know the Redeemer. His purpose was to redeem. His purpose was to remit. His purpose was to atone. His purpose was to cleanse. His purpose was to cover us. His purpose was to pay a debt that we ourselves could not pay. His purpose was to pay for the sins of the world, the sins of all humanity. He came for a purpose. Jesus came to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. I'm glad and thankful that I know who Jesus is. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let me tell you, if you do not know, if you're a little bit unclear, if you are here today and maybe you really don't know much about Jesus, or maybe you need, sometimes we need a reminder. Maybe you're here today and you need a reminder of who your Savior is. Let me tell you, He is the one that can take you over and over again. He is the one who can forgive you time and time again. He is the one who can take you out of darkness, set you free, give you help in a trial, in tribulation. Give you hope, give you peace in the middle of the storm, give you strength when you're feeling weak, give you restoration when you need it. He's the one that can bring you deliverance, joy, hope, and life that is everlasting. That is the one whom I'm talking of. Amen. For He is the Lamb that was used to minister to His people. For He, the Messiah, like the lamb that was used by the Israelites in Egypt, by the chapter or the verse of scriptures I read, He, the Messiah, like the lamb they used, while in bondage, while in slavery, while in captivity, like the lamb that God chose to use to cover them and to keep them and to protect them from the plague of death, He is the perfect, spotless, sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of humanity. Oh, are you glad your sins are forgiven? Are you glad you know a God who is the sacrificial lamb, perfect, spotless, without blemish? He warns us you have to use a perfect lamb. Not sick lambs. Not imperfect lambs. But it had to be a perfect lamb. I want you to hear me today. Not only does the blood of the lamb cleanse. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? Not only does the blood of the lamb cover us and cleanse us and keep us and remit sins. John chapter 6 verse 53 lets us know that His blood, this is how powerful His blood is, that His blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, puts life inside of us. It doesn't only cleanse, it don't only cover, it doesn't only keep, but it puts life inside of us. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 12 proclaims that the blood of the Lamb sanctifies us. Romans 5 and 9 says His precious blood justifies us. Revelations 12 and 11 lets us know that His blood gives us power to overcome and conquer. Ephesians 2 and 3 lets us know that the blood gives us the ability to get closer to our Savior. Amen. In Galatians chapter 3 verses 13, it is proclaimed to us that His blood removes us from the curse
works of the law, Ephesians 2 and 12 through 13 adds, that the blood of the Lamb was made no longer, we were made no longer a stranger, but the blood of the Lamb, but are now partakers of the covenants of promise, and it gives us hope. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and 5 teaches us that by His stripes, by His wound, through His blood, we are healed. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2 lets us know that the Lord's hand is not shortened. It's not too short that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God. But it is in His blood that reconnects us. I'm here to tell you, there is power in the blood of the perfect Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb of the Messiah. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, our sins may have separated us from God, but because He gave His life, because He shed His blood, we can be connected and restored to Him. Oh, amen. I'm glad that I can be connected and draw closer to Him simply because He shed His blood. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But with the shedding of blood, there is clarity, cleansing, and a connection made with humanity that nothing else could accomplish but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you right now, I want to tell everybody this. What you are looking for in this world, what your friends and your neighbors and your lost loved ones and those that are without God, those that are in wishy-washy Christianity, though, and I'm not being disrespectful, I'm just telling the truth, those that are in false religions and false doctrines and those that are just completely lost. And sometimes we in the church and in truth, what we sometimes need and what we are looking for, it is not found in the things of the world. It is not found in the things that a human can give you, but it is found in and through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus Christ. For there is ultimate power. There is power in the blood of the sacrificial, perfect Lamb. Oh, why don't you give Him a praise if you believe there is power, power, power in His blood. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We know, all of us here tonight or today, we know that through the Scriptures there's power in His blood. But we also know that through the Scriptures that the perfect sacrificial Lamb has a name. This sacrificial Lamb has a name. Oh, hallelujah. Look at John. Let's take a look real quick at John chapter 1, verses 29, and we'll see it proclaimed to us. This is John the Baptist as he is ministering, and he's already told of one that's going to come that is far greater than him, one that's going to come and do wonderful things that is proclaimed in the Old Testament. And we see that John, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him, and he said to those around, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Man cannot take away sins, but God can. And I'm here to tell you, God has a name. The Lamb has a name. A name. Here is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Philippians 2 verses 9 lets us know that the Lamb not only has a name, but that His name is powerful. His name is above every name. The Word lets us know that at the mention of His name, He is there. At the mention of His name, the devil and evil ones tremble. I'm telling you, it teaches us in the Scripture in Philippians that His name is above every name. His name is Jesus. I'm here to tell you there's power when we speak the name of Jesus, because in Jesus there is eternal life, because in Jesus the blood still flows. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. the Lamb has a name, and his name is Jesus. The truth is, often we stop there. We stop at the cross. We stop at Calvary. We stop at the mockery and the abuse and the beating and all the horrid things that took place, the crown of thorns and all they stripped him and humiliated him. And we stop at the death, him hanging on a cross, and too often we stop there with Christ. Too often we stop as Christ as the Lamb. And yes, there are a lot of scriptures proclaiming that Christ is the Lamb, but I am here to tell you today, he isn't just a Lamb. He isn't just the perfect Lamb of sacrifice. Oh, come on, somebody. I hope you're still with me. He's not just a meek, sacrificial Lamb. There is a reason that there is power in his name. I'm here to tell you, why is there power in his name? There is power in his name because he's not only a lamb, but he is also a lion. And the lion represents the king. I'm telling you, the king has ultimate authority. The king has power in his name. In the times of the Bible, they could go to you and say, in the name of the king, do this and do that. And when you mentioned the name of the king, they had to obey. They had to do whatever it was. That's why there's power in the name of Jesus. It's because Jesus is not only a lamb, he's a lion, and he's here today. I'm glad I'm a part of the kingdom. I'm glad I know the lamb, and I'm glad I know the lion. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God. He's the Father. He's the Son. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Creator, the Redeemer, the Lamb, and the Lion. If you know him, give him a praise. Oh, hallelujah. There's power in the sacrificial lamb. Because of the name of the king. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he did not remain in the grave. Because he did not stay dead. There's power in the name of the lamb and the name of the lion. Because the lion came out of the grave and is risen and alive forevermore. A slain lamb is just that. It's a sacrifice. But a risen Savior is a king. Authority with all power and wisdom and knowledge. And in everything, he is a conqueror of death, hell, and the graves. He is now, the Word of God says, no longer just a lamb, but he is now a lion, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Oh, hallelujah! He is King above all. Just as there were prophecies of the coming Messiah, just as there were prophecies of the Lamb that would be slain for our sins, there are prophecies of that Lamb would one day reign supreme as King over all the earth. Lambs are sacrificed, but kings rule. I hope you're with me. Lambs are killed, but kings rule. Lambs are killed, but kings conquer. Lambs are killed, but kings overcome. Oh, hallelujah. The reason why Jesus, as the Lamb which must be saved or give his life for the sins of the world, why Jesus was hanging on the cross, the reason why he died, and he said these words right before he died, it is finished, because the Lamb, what he came to do was finishing, but the glory of the King was just beginning. Salvation was going to be poured out because the Lion poured himself out on the cross. Lambs are killed, but kings are sovereign. Kings are fearless. Kings are the ones in control. Christ, as King, has all authority. Nothing above him, nothing below him, nothing beside him has the power that he has. I said earlier that it is in and through the blood of the Lamb that you can have peace, you can have joy, you can have healing, and all those wonderful things the Word of God teaches us is through the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. And that is true, but it is all obtained. How do we obtain that? Yes, it's through the blood, but we obtain the riches and mercy and blessings and promises of God that are given to us through a risen Savior, through the blood of Jesus. We obtain them by and through the authority of the Lion. Amen. Because he took a crown change, because he went from thorns to a crown, we can be partakers, and that's how we obtain what the blood applies. His name is powerful. Somebody say his name. Why don't you say his name? Why don't you shout the name? Jesus! Oh, right then and there, something was happening. Why? Because when we mention his name, something happens. His name is powerful because his name is the name of the King of all. The King is here today. Yes, he's a sacrificial lamb, a perfect lamb. The Bible tells us they had to at one time kill other lambs and bulls and goats and sacrifice for worship and sacrifice animals for praise and sacrifice animals for offerings unto the Lord. And they had to sacrifice perfect lambs and all these things to atone their sins. But it was not good enough. It wasn't good enough. And the Bible said, if the blood of bulls and goats took care of our sins, now Jesus, the perfect Lamb, has done it permanent. I'm here to tell you, his blood is enough. His grace is enough. His love is enough. We can obtain because he is a Lion and a Lamb. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, we see him described. We see him proclaimed in the book of Revelation chapter 5. There's John seeing visions, and God's ministering to John as he writes to the churches. And he's in heaven at this point, and he sees there are seals that cannot be opened. And John is moved and emotional, and he begins to tear up because the angels couldn't open the seals. No one could open the seals, but here came the one that came, the one and only who came from the throne as a slain lion or a lamb and a lion. And the Lion, the Bible says, was able to open the seals. God is able to open some things because he's not only a lamb, he is a lion. We are one together. And because of that, we can be set free. It's through the blood. It's through the blood, but it's obtained because he's also a Lion, the King, our God, our Savior, desires for his children. See, that's awesome. We're not children of the Lamb. We are, but not of the Lamb only. He has adopted us in. He has grafted us in. He has called us his own. He has called us our children. That's why I say child of God. Sons and daughters will prophesy. He is our heavenly Father. The King, our God, our Savior, our heavenly Father. Greater than any earthly father. Desires for his children to be set free. Desires for his children to be encouraged in time of discouragement. Desires for his children to be delivered from things that hinder them. Our Heavenly Father, the King of all kings, desires us to not only physically but mentally and spiritually to be made whole, to be blessed, to be restored and filled with his life-given spirit. Life-giving spirit. That is his desires. The King is not just a lamb, but he is a lion.